greatest irony ever to have that be the outro.
I know, right?
You should redo it and acknowledge the irony.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yeah. say, but That's still, follow
but
us.
Still, we're here.
Like, but still yeah. do it. Like, just to be overt.
We have no shame.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really good.
I think you're
Otherwise,
right.
Otherwise, we sound like inauthentic assholes.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Gen X Stories, a podcast about how the so-called lost generation found itself. We're your hosts, Eve, Courtney, Lori, and Chris. Today, we are taking on Chris's favorite topic, social media. But not the kids yeeting Tide Pods in the street, although I don't know if I said that right. But what Gen X is doing on social, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Are the people we follow doing our generation proud, or are they making us cringe a little bit, or a little bit of both? And even do we belong there? Get ready for our top three Gen X influencers and what our Facebook group has to say. All right, on with the show. Hello, everyone. Here we are again.
Yes.
Hello.
All right, we are doing social media. We've done technology before, but we've never just focused on Gen Xers in social media. Are any of you guys terrified by this?
No.
No?
No. No, I just don't know what some of these words mean.
Like what? Like yeet?
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Chris, tell us what yeeting is.
Yeet?
I don't know. You told me that you didn't like when people were eating Tide Pods, although maybe I put in the yeeting.
Oh, well,
is that a word?
It's a other generational word, yeeting.
Well, that's a new word to me.
Oh, really? So.
Pop quiz, Eve. We weren't ready for this shit. Like,
all right.
I did read this, but no, I don't. Okay. It is not a word that I use. It is not part of my vernacular.
My understanding, again, this is maybe get to the root of where we fall when we're dealing with social media. The word yeet, I think, is either millennial or a Gen Z word, which is just sort of like throwing, I believe. Is that, did you look it up? You look it up in Urban Dictionary. What does it say? Tell us what yeeting says.
Merriam-Webster says to throw, especially with force and without regard for the thing being thrown.
It's in Merriam-Webster?
Yes.
Wait, so does that mean millennials are yeeting Gen X?
I don't know.
Tossing us and not caring about what happens to us?
I think everybody is.
Why is kids yeeting Tide Pods in the street? They were throwing things in the street? I thought they were eating them.
I don't know. I was trying to be silly. I failed.
Okay,
I'm cringe. They're cringe. Cringe. I'm cringe.
I literally thought this was a typo because you type for crap. So I thought it was supposed to say eating and she wrote yeeting and now it's a word.
I love that. Okay. I love the fact that you thought that I got that wrong.
Okay. Everybody's been on the receiving end of Eve's
handwriting-laden
messages.
Yeah. Well, I correct the text messages.
Now you correct them.
Now I correct them. I did.
Because Lori gave you so much shit.
Oh, my God.
For our listeners, there was one, I think it was a happy hour. I thought I was taking notes in my notes app, but I was taking notes in the messages app, and it was going to Lori.
I thought she was having a stroke. And the only thing I wrote back was, okay. What the hell is happening?
Yes.
All right, we're going to talk social media. We're back to social media. I'm going to give you a couple stats that I found just to see if we care about these. Gen X uses Facebook more than any other social media platform at 81%, which makes sense to me.
Sure. It was the first one that came out. Well, other than the MySpace.
I found out MySpace still exists. It still exists. We won't. Yeah, I know. Now, here's an interesting one. 80% of Gen X uses some kind of social media. We spend almost 2 hours a day on social media, just our generation. God knows what other generations do.
And we could be doing so much more.
I know. Well, Chris, you'll love this. Gen X women spend 10 times more time on social media than men. The other things, we prefer Facebook and YouTube as the two social media platforms, which I never go to YouTube. So that's a weird one. Gen X has a preference for using social media during the evening, 45%, and late at night, 25%. I know. She's pointing at me because I'll TikTok until the wee hours of the morning. 83% of Gen X in the U.S. are active in social media to stay informed about the world, which worries me.
Yes.
Scary.
Gen X uses LinkedIn at least once a month. That's not me because LinkedIn scares the fuck out of me. Let's see, there's other things on here. Yes, 88% of Gen X uses Facebook as a source of news compared to 33% using Twitter. These were interesting numbers. I don't know if I believe all these, but I know as a Gen Xer, I am very active in social media, but only very specific ones. So Facebook resonates with me because I can lock my page down. And so only the people who I want in my world can see it. And anyone else can't find me. Courtney, I think you have an Instagram that's locked out.
Yeah.
So it's private.
Not on Facebook.
So that's sort of interesting to me. And I recently, much to Chris's chagrin, found TikTok.
The new time suck.
It is the new time suck, but I sort of dig it.
Maybe that's why it's called TikTok, because you're just TikToking your life away on it.
No they judgment. Do.
I try not to pick too much on other generations when I see them, although I will pick on a millennial in a heartbeat.
I was going to say, since when?
Gen Z.
But millennials can go kiss my ass.
They can get off your lawn?
They can get off my lawn.
I was just going to say, I think the stats are interesting about getting information and news. And I think really we need to look at that.
Yeah.
Not that they are getting their news in this other way, but that they're not watching traditional news on TV, which we grew up, and people won't realize this, there were only three channels and then you got cable and you'd watch the evening news. The news anchor of that 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock news hour was famous, right? Yep. And we relied on that particular person to give us our news and then reading the paper. So now,
reading the paper.
Right. So now I can go online and I can follow BBC or whatever you like. And you're doing it through social media or you're doing it online. So I think maybe that stat reflects that they're not watching it on TV, but they're getting it from their phone or their computer.
In theory,
I don't think it's the end of the world.
I think it depends on how they get it. And it depends. Like if they get it directly from the source, you're going to be similar to.
I think a lot of people do that.
I know a lot of people who get their news from the news tab on Facebook. I always look at it just to sort of see what they're doing, but it's always tilted towards your algorithm and towards your preferences versus following BBC directly. So I think that's an important distinction
All that is doing is basically the algorithm is just reaffirming your confirmation bias.
Correct.
So is that necessarily news, or are you just being spoon-fed stuff that is more palatable to you? They are monetizing clicks and information. Yes.
Right.
So
clickbait.
They want you to be engaged as much as possible. That's how they make their dough.
Yeah.
So any bit of information that is being sent to you is being run through an algorithm and is saying, perhaps you'd like this. So whether or not you're getting the whole picture, regardless of what we think truth is, it doesn't have the same amount of choice there. You have to dig deeper to find the choice.
This is our Gen X story PSA. Please go direct to the news source so you can get a full picture.
At least two sources.
Yes.
Right. And I think a lot of people don't do that because social media, depending on your age, the people are like, I can get everything in one place. You have to look at it through a little bit of a, I'm not sure about that. Let me double check that.
A lot of skepticism. Yeah.
A lot of skepticism.
But see, I totally see what you're saying, Chris, about the algorithm, and I 100% agree. But I also curate news app. So it's kind of the same thing in a lot of ways.
I get what you want.
I'm getting what I want, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why if you had a choice, and I grew up in a city that had more than one newspaper, but I distinctly remember, because my father used to work for a newspaper, is that we got all of them. You had the Chicago Tribune, which had a history of sort of leaning right or hard right at times back in the day. And then you had the Sun-Times, which was a tabloid kind of thing. And then you had the local paper. And somewhere in there was the reality.
That's something that people don't often understand with social media, especially people who use it for everything, is that it's your truth or it is a specific truth, but it may not be the truth.
Right.
And I think a lot of people don't do that. I can just go here. I think is sort of interesting how we get that information, whether it's a curated news feed like you get, Lori, or if it's saying, it doesn't sound right. Let me go Google that and look it up from Facebook. There are people use social for everything that is not news, though. And there are so many social channels, and I'm curious which ones you guys frequent. We have Facebook, we have Instagram, we have Twitter/X. I can't call it X.
I hope it dies.
I hope it dies. And it's. I think
it was a hot mess then, so it's just become a hotter mess.
Gross. So there's Twitter, there's TikTok, there's Snapchat.
I don't even know what that is. I mean, I do, but I don't know how to use it.
What's interesting about the channels, and again, being in this industry, Chris always reminds me, and I know about it for my job, that every channel is a different audience. And so I'm curious where Gen X actually belongs in that ocean of audiences. What do people use here? Or any? Courtney, you don't use Facebook.
I do Instagram.
Why?
Because it's short and sweet. What's really interesting, though, is you follow certain people, you follow certain places, events, news, whatever you want to follow. And I got to tell you, I learn a lot about local events happening.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't know Audra McDonald was performing at the LA Opera last night. Like, I never would have known that. So I like that. You can actually have the feed.
Oh,
so
owned by Meta.
What my friends are up to. And
you get reels instead of TikToks.
Yeah, I guess so. Like some of them, don't ask me to explain it. Like,
yeah.
There's like the column that you swipe up and you see stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there's the thing that like takes you and you swipe left instead of the other way. And it's like little reels. I don't understand all of that.
Okay. But you're,
I just consume it.
She's just trained.
Lori?
Facebook and Instagram. Facebook because it was what it was so many years ago. And that's how I got to reconnect with friends. And I really liked it.
True.
Instagram, because certain people aren't on Facebook. So if I want to stay in touch with them, I do it on...
Like Courtney.
I do it on Instagram. And I have a Twitter account and I will go peruse it.
I can't. I peruse it, but I don't engage with it because it's just, it's the fire hose of chaos.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing with Twitter, when it was Twitter, it used to be really great. If you wanted to know what was happening globally, if there was an event that was happening like right now, you could go to Twitter and find it. And get information from the ground, not curated, not skewed, not slanted, because it was from the people.
Yeah. One of the more famous instances of that was during the Arab Spring.
Correct.
Yes.
Is all of the countries were trying to limit all of this kinds of things. That Twitter was, as Lori said, it was people boots on the ground. It was, this is really what's happening here. And that was not only valuable, I think, in terms of just participating in a global political
thing,
but it was very informative. Mm-hmm. But then it just
changed.
Just a fucking you know, klaxon of just noise and awful
behavior. Awful. And I think that younger generations are eschewing a lot of Twitter because of that. I think that they're going in other places. Because it's just a shit show over there. Chris, do you use social media?
I think that there was a curiosity initially, particularly with Facebook when it came out. I'm not terribly nostalgic, but there was that sort of like, well, I wonder what this person was doing. And then, oh, it's interesting. And then you find it after the sort of initial kind of like, I haven't talked to you in 20 years and whatever. And then you're like, I don't much more to say other than, how you been?
Right.
You know? And I think for that kind of thing, that connection, whatever was it almost became like an addictive drug.
It's
that you just find that you're just drawn to it. And it is designed so that you do that. Since I've been going through a divorce, though, I have eschewed all of that kind of stuff.
So you do no social now at all?
Nope.
Oh.
And what? I don't miss it because I can find people. I mean,
you can text us.
Yeah, you just start to realize it's like, nah, I can figure it out. Like, I don't necessarily need to put the platform in. And I do miss pictures of penguins on Instagram, but...
Or puppies. You
know, or puppies. It just started to become just noise. And it just, it became like this minefield. And then you start to realize that, and I'm not taking myself out of this equation, is that you start to put forth not the whole picture of who you are. So it becomes, these are the great things that are going on for me. Or at least in some ways, I'm trying not to sound judgy, is that you put it into a public forum. And a lot of people don't understand necessarily when you do that, the nuances behind feelings or anything like that. And it can be very easily misconstrued. And I've had situations where that's happened, where people get offended and you're like, it's never my intention to do that, but somehow I pissed people off or a person off. And I feel like just not having to negotiate that is really freeing.
I think a lot of people are doing that. Right now we have four. Two are on Facebook, two are not. I wonder if we are a microcosm of our generation of how people are using or not using that kind of thing. Because you're right, the story that you tell, like everyone sees the beautiful weddings and everyone sees the beautiful vacations and everyone. Yeah. I'm like, well, I'm happy to see it, but I know it's not true.
Yeah. I mean, you want to share and wonderful things that happen in the people that you care about. And I think it kind of planted the seed of the sort of like fabulous influencers out there. Now you can monetize all of the wonderful things that happen to me. And
real or not?
They're not real. I mean, most of them are not. It's all just artifice.
Yeah. You brought up the word influencer. And I really hate using that word because it's not a word that is a Gen X word that we would have chosen.
It's not even a profession. You have to do something. Are you contributing towards the greater good of humanity? Yes or no?
Right.
If it's no, then no.
Right. This is a get off my lawn episode because
no, it's like, the truth. It's the fucking truth.
Influencers are a different kind of entrepreneur.
Oh, look at her. Look, because they're making money. Right? Okay.
They are using what is at their fingertips, what's available in their generation. They're using what platforms there are. Like, we wouldn't call ourselves influencers, but we did other things to promote ourselves or to promote getting a job or doing something. So it's an anathema to Gen Xers. I think, like, being an influencer seems like you're lazy and you're just like, what are you actually doing? And as Chris said, how are you contributing? But it's what they know. It's what is in their purview. It's what's available to them. So it's a different kind of entrepreneurship that does seem perhaps selfish. I mean, it's sort of like the narcissism.
Yeah.
And I'm curious because as a historian, I guarantee you in 10 years, there's going to be a study on the psychological impact of being an influencer on these particular influencers. Like, they're going to be like a case study.
And also, and I say this as a guardian, and I'm so glad that there's not a heavy usage, is that the impact that it has on growing minds. And that sound like such an old fart.
I was going to say.
But I sort of think about it as a kind of like akin to fashion magazines, this sort of misrepresentation of the reality of living and creating an aspirational goal that doesn't exist for most people. And it should be inspiring. It shouldn't be narcissistic. Here's my advice to everybody who's doing this, who's able to monetize, is you better save your money.
Save your money.
Yeah.
Because there's always a younger kid coming in the rearview mirror.
Eating something,
or jumping off the roof, who is going to find a way to take your thunder. It just, you become, there's an, very few people last in those flash in the pan kind of things. And we've seen social media change from MySpace to Facebook. I mean, how long has this been going? 15 years?
Longer.
Yeah. Longer.
MySpace goes back further.
It's really been part of sort of the thing. So we'll say 20.
Yeah.
Think about what's changed. And the people who used to have whatever, who's the Pew Dog or Pepe Le Pew, all of these people, whatever monikers they are going with, where are
at
they?
Pepe Le Pew?
Yeah, whatever. Where are they? What are they doing? People age out of it too. Like, the teens are like, oh, it's not cool anymore.
So when I used to work for a company that did blogging events for women, when influencers for my world first started, we were curating influencers for brands. Right. But they were behind the scenes. They were blogging about it. And yes, they were getting money, but they had to
do something.
They had to actually try the product and they had to use the product. And then they had to talk about the product. They couldn't just walk around with a handbag and that was considered influencing people to buy the product. Like, there was actual work that went into it. And then I, honest to God, don't know what happened, but it just became like this crazy, all you have to do is put on eyelashes
because you're gonna, on a video,
the eyelash brand.
And, hashtag it with the brand name and you're done.
It felt more serious back then, 10 years ago, 12 years ago. And now anybody can do it. Before, the brands would actually like give us their stats. How do they reach? What do they usually talk about? They wanted to make sure it was a brand thing. Like, there was actual
alignment.
Alignment. Thank you. I could not come up with the word. And now it just feels like, oh, okay, they've got 2,000 followers. We'll just give it a shot. I don't know.
It's interesting. Like, there's a TV series called Emily in Paris. And part of her journey, she's American. She goes to Paris and she works in advertising. And she has her own, here I'm pretending to hold up the phone. She has her own Instagram about like cute things that she says, and she gets a bunch of followers. And then she gets invited to social influencers gathering because she's being recruited to promote products. So if you have a certain level, then like you said, brands are recruiting you, if you're reflective of the brand, to do stuff with them, getting paid as a result. But I think that was a very good representation of sort of what's happening now.
But to your point, Lori, about people who used to do it and people who are doing it now, there's a mix of it, but it's also causing fatigue, selling fatigue. Like, you go on any of these things and you see somebody who's saying, hey, yeah, look, I use this perfect thing and it's amazing. You don't know who the fuck that person is.
Well, yeah. Where's the trust? These women, mostly women, had to have built trust. They had to
have
credibility.
what's interesting to me is the balance of those two things, because you get, again, serve stuff. I curate my social media, but then every once in a while, like in TikTok, shit will creep in. There was a watercolor set on TikTok that everyone was using, and they all, I guess, in order to get the discount, had to do a video using the watercolors. And I see that and I just go past it because I'm like, I don't want to do that. But then I stop on Kevin Bacon, and Kevin Bacon is just doing a video singing to his goats. Mm-hmm. He's not selling anything. He's just there. Every once in a while, his wife Kira shows up. They sing together to the goats. That's something that I resonate with, like that kind of authenticity, or that kind of like, I'm not trying to sell you anything. Maybe it's a story. Maybe it's just a glimpse into a life, whether it's true or not. That's the stuff that I gravitate towards. But if they're trying to sell me something, those influencers can go kick rocks. I'm not going to spend time on that because that gets the money too. That's another thing, is that people don't realize that if you spend a lot of time on something in particular, or you click something, to Chris's point, it generates money. It generates.
Yeah, you get a view. You get a whatever it is. One hundredth of a cent.
And on TikTok, the longer you're on a video, or if you click like, or if you engage in it, that goes into the pocket of the person who's making the video, who may be hired by somebody else. So I'm aware of all of that, and I don't want to contribute to it. But there's some stuff that I'm like, well, that's really cool to watch. Oh, it's a puppy dog. Yeah.
Right.
In that morass, knowing how we all good feel word. About this, Gen Xers have stepped up, whether it's good or bad, to engage with this. So we went from being sort of like watching it, saying, well, look at that, to, okay, well, I'm now going to make a video, or I'm now going to put something on Facebook, or I'm now going to monetize it because I have a million followers, or I want to get to a million. That feels a little new to me. And on certain platforms that are, quote unquote, that weren't suitable for our generation, people are digging their heels in. TikTok was a young person's game. And now it's not, because Gen Xers have entered the chat.
Mom and dad came down to the basement and wrecked everything.
Right? But and I think they see
go
it that way.
Mom.
But then a lot
of course they do. It makes it instantly uncool.
But we're doing it. And I think it's sort of fascinating watching them do it. Like when we did ASMR, we talked about ARP is doing their social media, because now it's fucking aimed at us. But they're trying to be cool. And then there's a woman on TikTok who works for Sesame Street, and she's a Gen Xer. She talks about Muppets. Well, I like Muppets.
Sure.
Because I'm a Gen Xer. So there's things that get you into it that way. Does that feel weird to you? Do you feel like you're being manipulated, or do you like that kind of stuff? If you see things that are sort of that are like our experience collectively.
Well, I think your initial step over the threshold is your choice. But the moment you do that, you are being manipulated. Mm. The moment you engage, it's just the world that we live in.
Yeah.
It's the very nature, not only of just social media, but the fact that like your phone
has everything.
Every time you turn it on, there is a trawling that going on, a scrape of information that comes out of you. So it might be your choice at first. After that first step, you are, I don't want to say a victim, but you are being influenced by companies that are looking to monetize your information. And that's just what it is.
And so goes the algorithm.
And so it goes.
Yeah.
Right.
It's interesting when I hear from older people, not so much younger people. My mother talked about a lot of these social media platforms, and she's like, I don't understand it. I'm like, well, free isn't free.
Never.
You don't pay for these out of pocket. You pay with data.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't get that. And if you're willing to do it, you do it. If you safeguard yourself from certain things, you lock your account down, you go to platforms that are not wide open, you don't post videos, you watch videos. I mean, there's things that you can do to protect yourself a little bit, but you can't, like to Chris's point, protect yourself entirely.
No.
So we are all going to be in that matrix.
Yes.
And feed them.
Like Chris said, your phone does it. So I Google something, and the next thing I know, I'm being fed an ad.
Yep.
Right.
So it's not just limited to social media.
We're going to do an episode of Chris is off the grid. That's that's going to be an episode of Chris doesn't trust anyone with his data.
I understand that I am willingly giving information out. I understand that is part and parcel with living in this world that I do, that I can have a phone and I can go to Europe and I can use the maps. And I understand that all of that information is being gathered and maybe monetized. I accept a certain point of that. But I guess the thing we're talking about social media is a willingness participation. And I'm just speaking for myself, and I'm not getting all haughty about it or anything like that, is that getting off of it was an unbelievable sort of break for my brain, because it is addictive.
So the question becomes, do you follow Gen Xers that you like? on these platforms, or do you keep a distance from them?
I've come across things, but I don't follow anybody. I know there's that guy that sings in the grocery store.
Yes.
He cracks me up. Yeah, because now that's the music in the grocery store is our music.
Yep.
Maybe not Chris's music.
There's a woman on TikTok and I think on Instagram called Corbett. She does Gen X updates. She sort of has dark hair. Sometimes it's purple. She has really cute glasses and she gets on and she's snarky as fuck. In the beginning, I really liked her. But then I will tell you that as the things go on, I'm like, I'll see a little bit of it. And then I'm like, what? You can actually fast forward on TikTok so I can see if she's going to do something interesting or I'm just going to bail. But in the beginning, I think, Chris, to your point, I was one of those people who were being monetized. And I was like, oh, I love this. And now I'm probably a little pickier.
Right.
Because I don't want to be sold anything. Or at a certain point, if you see a Gen Xer, what are they going to say? Is it going to be for people who are their followers and they want to hear that? Or is it just, here's my feelings, take it or leave it, and you're going to have trolls in the comments and who gives a shit?
Right.
I like the latter. The former bothers me. I like people who come out and say, I'm just going to do whatever the fuck I'm going to do. And if you like it, cool. If you don't like it, bye. I don't know how much that happens on social these days.
I mean, I feel like we're kind of having two different discussions. Like, we're using social media for entertainment, right? You like to wind down at the end of the day, Eve. I use it for both entertainment, connection, and information. Not news per se, but like things going on. And I think there's the other question of like, okay, so we're participating in this media.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two purposes. There's sort of like what we get out of it and what the media gets out of it. So we're very clear in this podcast so far of articulating the things that are uncomfortable to us or we don't agree with, or we feel like we're being manipulated or we're being utilized for data. Like, that's all true. And then there's another layer of people just using it and not worrying about that data, or maybe they do, but they still participate. You did some great research, Eve, and I looked over some of it. Older women, like 40, 50, 60-year-old women are now a rising age bracket on TikTok. And like, some of the research talks about the fact that when women hit a certain age, they don't care as much what people think. And so now they're having a place to have expression, and especially like introverts or someone who like maybe just felt like they needed to have a say. Maybe they didn't have the rest of their earlier in their life. They're utilizing it for their own personal evolution, mental health, whatever it is. And you were talking about like preferring to follow authentic posters, and they're just doing it because they suddenly have the opportunity of a platform and they're just trying to have fun. I think that's a really interesting use of the social media in a way that I don't think was anticipated. I mean, technically, we're on social media with this podcast, right?
Yes.
And we've talked about whether or not we're going to take our video recording of the podcast and put it on YouTube because you get a certain number of followers.
Yeah.
So I think we're also, as a group, Gen X Stories, engaging in that social media and the selling of us.
I think that's true.
In addition to being individual private people and how we use it in a lot of different ways.
I sort of love that point because we did talk about influencers and potentially getting some on the show. And I will tell you guys, I reached out to a lot of them and they all have representation now.
Yeah, we don't have that, people. If anyone's listening, want to represent us, call
Lori.
They
have representation. And so I go to like their bio. I tried to find an email. I thought that they were like real people. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to contact your agent. I'm just not. So it has colored me. People who I thought were kind of great, they're kind of doing the Gen X right. I'm kind of like, yeah, no, fuck that shit.
What they really want, Eve, is they want our non-existent agent to contact their agent.
Right. That should have a certain kind of skepticism. Like, yeah, really? Yeah. I think that one of the things that we can do is knowing that we're all part of this and we can't avoid it, is to own that you look for what you want as much as you can, rather than trying to consume things that are just being jammed on your throat.
That's why it's been sort of fascinating to me that a generation like ours, which is skeptical, which is MacGyver, which is kind of like, we are who we are, fuck it, has a presence. Like Facebook, people use to reconnect with their friends. People use it to share pictures, whether it's real or not.
Videos of their participation in January 6th.
Yeah, right. And get caught. And get caught, which
dumbass.
Is fucking fabulous. We are on social media. We have a Facebook group that we ask questions of, that we put our posts of our episodes and all that. So we are part of the machine that way. So we got like three responses to what social media influencers for Gen X do you follow. Don Lively said, I just realized when thinking about this, I'm not sure of actual Gen X people, but I did add a few on Instagram recently for perimenopause, which is kind of generational. Kelly Campbell Heisler has never sent anything before. So she had a lot. She said on Instagram, she follows Kelly Mano, Her hilarious rant about Gen X kids drinking from the garden hose went viral. The Holderness family follow them before they're officially Gen X. They lean more into it now. At Gen X Woman and at Tonight, she said on Substack, girls of a certain age, definitely influenced by Kim France, former editor of Sassy and Lucky, and have purchased her recommendations. And also on Instagram, she goes to Smartless, which is a podcast I shared with you guys, is a bunch of Gen X men on all these social medias. So she follows a lot of people. Kimberly, who always gives us stuff, she follows Kelly Mano on TikTok instead of Instagram. And Corbett, that I mentioned, she said Corbett did influence me to buy something. A couple other Gen Xers, You Wish You Were on Gen X on TikTok, which I do follow, and Gen X underscore reference desk. And then she says, of course, Gen X Stories on Facebook, because she loves us. I think that maybe I thought there were more Gen X influencers and we had more of a role in this world than we do. Maybe our skepticism is keeping us at bay a little bit.
I think so. Maybe we're just sort of settled into where we are. And
that's deep.
and not in a negative way. It's just like, do I have time to really make a video of which nails I think?
Right.
Galvanized nails I think are better than the other. I don't.
Some people do it. I mean,
some of those fascinating, but
yeah,
I don't.
I think that's fair. If we did a top three of influencers in social that you follow, would you guys be able to do it? I don't know if you could do it. Yeah,
I would not.
I don't think. No. Yeah. Well, Chris is. Well, Chris isn't gonna.
I don't know who they are, but I like watching planes take off. I mentioned that before. And if there's something I need to know to fix that I don't know how to do, then I'll check on YouTube. But other than that, there's no destination for me other than Gen X Stories.
Yeah. Hello. Looking.
How about that for a self-promotional plug?
That's a little self-promotion.
I'm part of the problem.
And hopefully, Lori, we will be famous by doing that. But again, the things you need to do to become famous, I don't know if we'd want to do them. No,
it just has to land on us.
Right.
I don't know how, but it's this magic thing that's going to happen.
Well, the episode was a little shorter, but more intriguing, frankly, because maybe we just don't care too much about what other Gen Xers do on these platforms. All right. Well, then that's it for us this week. Thank you for listening to Gen X Stories. Drop us a note, like an actual email, at hello@genxstories.com, and we may do some shout outs on a future episode. If you're into the merch thing, we have that too. Real cool shit. Look at what we've got on our website at genxstories.com. And then here is some social media stuff. You can subscribe on your favorite podcast app, write us a kick-ass review, or follow us on Instagram at Gen X Stories if you're into that. And if not, join our ever-growing Facebook group. We all have a Gen X story. What's yours?